Rick Emerson's not the guy who doesn't notice your hair, baby. Rick Emerson's the guy who notices. The pink is gone, and it's much more blonde.
It's true.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, I did the Bishop's photo shoot thing on Monday.
Excellent.
And Muppet got his hair done, too.
Aw. Speaking of that, well, I don't want to talk about that. It's been a weird week. It's been a weird dog week. I'm not going to get bogged down in a lot of dog talk.
I'm actually taking Muppet. I'm feeling a lot of guilt lately. I feel like I haven't spent a lot of time with him. So we're going for a long run in the park.
You've been feeling guilt. My dog's been in the cage for the last 5 days. So, I mean, yeah, you've been feeling guilt. I actually was that guy on Saturday who wanted to call the kennel to talk to the dog, you know, but Laura has to keep me from doing it. I'm like, oh, we got to call Max and let him know that we're, you know, we'll be home soon. And the worst thing, and I swear to God, I'm not going to get bogged down. I don't want to be a big buzzkill about it, but the dog's just, and we've tried all boarding him in all kinds of different places, all kinds of different kennels and whatever, and he just reacts really badly to it. We even tried this place on Sobeys Island where you pay out the ass, by the way, and he just, it's still there, he didn't, and so the worst, and he's just such a little food vacuum, you know, he'll just eat anything, as my mom would say, that doesn't eat him first, but the worst thing, this will make you feel like a bad pet parent, so the only observation I'll make is when you go to pick up your dog from being at the boarding place or the kennel or whatever, and this, we've gotten this a couple times, we'll go to like pick him up and we're like, well, how was Max? He was okay after the first night. The first night he was refusing food. Which is like the worst thing you could possibly be. He wouldn't refuse food if it was on fire and covered with tacks. You know, if it was covered in spiders, he wouldn't. And so he's just like, he wouldn't eat the first night. We tried everything. He just didn't seem to want to live, you know? And then I'm just like, oh, God!
Well, I left this weekend, Kiki, my friends Kiki and Smiley watched Muppet. And
my friends Kiki and Smiley.
Yeah.
And then we formed a band.
No, I guess he was up all night because they live in an apartment and their neighbors are making noise. He was up all night howling and barking, and Kiki had to work all day.
Your neighbors love you.
I know. Well, and my friends, I felt so bad because she had a super long day and Muppet was just being an ass.
Yeah, so I guess when we're done here, I actually can't even...
You want to go to the dog park together?
No, I don't. Because when we're done here, and we got to get Ed here in like 10 seconds. When I'm done here, I got to do a few things, and then the boarding place, the kennel actually closes like 4:30, so I got to blow out of here pretty quickly this afternoon and go pick Max up so he can hate me. So he can... And he does this one thing. Final observation.
Oh, God.
No, he does this one thing. Because, you know, your dog recognizes you by a combination of, I guess, sight and scent or whatever. But when we go to pick him up, you call them, like, kennels or whatever. The cages is where they are. The cages are all there visible from the front counter where you go to settle up. And I'll walk in.
Dad, see their little heads in there?
No. So I'll walk in and he'll see me and he'll kind of go. And he'll, like, lift up and he'll kind of perk up and he'll look at me and he'll start going like, you know, like barking at me. And then to get there, you have to walk around and he loses sight of you before you see him again to pick him up. So you go in, he sees you, and then as you continue to walk in, he loses sight of you. And that's when the barking goes crazy because he thinks that I don't recognize him. And it's all like, no, it's me. Oh, come on. Oh, it's Max. Come on, I'm right over here. And then you get him and then he loathes you. Then he hates you for like a day. Well, okay, enough dog talk. There you go. It's a
famously heroic dog in the mountain.
Sure. Well, we're going to talk about them in a minute. We're going to talk about those fine examples of those hikers. We'll talk about that just to complete our transformation into becoming the Stephanie Miller Show. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the South. Our good friend, CNN radio correspondent and mellow dude about town, Ed McCarthy. Hello, Ed.
Rick, you know, I could talk about that all day long, those kind of experiences with the kennel and all of that, because we go through that too, you know?
Yeah.
You always feel as guilty as hell, don't you?
Well, this is why I can never have children. A, because I'd be a terrible parent and I would beat my children repeatedly. And B, because I know how guilty I get and how I don't know, just how I beat myself up and how, I mean, it sounds dumb to people who don't have dogs or cats or pets or whatever, but I know how much it kind of screws me up when something goes wrong with my dog. I can't imagine how I would deal with a kid. I mean, here's a true story, and I don't mean to nauseate everybody with endless pet story, but here's a true story. Years ago, and longtime listeners remember this, I used to have a hedgehog. I've actually had a couple of hedgehogs, but I used to have a hedgehog, unimaginatively named Hedgie, some years ago. The thing about hedgehogs is they pretty much will take care of themselves, but they got nails that grow really long. Their claws grow, and you got to trim their claws, or else they just have trouble walking and kind of they catch on the carpet or on the newspaper or whatever. So every so often, like every 3, 4, 5 weeks, you got to just kind of hold them, and then you take fingernail clippers and you got to like clip the ends of their nails off. So I'm trimming my hedgehog's toenails, which is the weirdest statement that's ever been uttered by anybody. I'm trimming my hedgehog's toenails. And, of course, the hedgehog doesn't know, like all animals, they don't know that you're just doing what you're supposed to do. And they think you're just some large mammal that's attempting to steal something from them or harm them in some way. So I'm going there. I'm trimming the hedgehog's toenails. And the hedgehog is just flailing around for dear life. Like, there's nothing you can do. And, of course, it's like holding... You know, it's like holding a pincushion. I mean, this thing that has like 700 razor-sharp spines on it is like writhing around in my hand, and it hurts like hell. And meanwhile, I'm trying to do... And I go and I squeeze down on the nail clipper just as the hedgehog moves, and I catch like the edge of the toe in the nail clipper, and I totally take a whack out of her foot with the nail clipper. And I couldn't, you know, total accident. You know, couldn't be avoided, you know, and just for the rest of the day. I just felt terrible. And from that day forward, I never did that again. I made my wife do it because I just couldn't take it. I'm like, I can't look him in the eyes. After what I did, I felt like such a terrible pet person.
I cried. I was cutting him up his hair once. I was trimming around his face, and I cut his head with the scissors. Oh. I felt so bad, and I can never do it again.
Yeah.
I will never do it.
Because you're like, he put his trust in me, and I cut his scalp. And then you just feel like such an unworthy pet person. And so I cannot have kids because I would just go mental. I'm not trying to compare pets to kids, but I'm saying I cannot even imagine what my reaction would be if something happened to a kid of mine. I'd lose it. So I would just have a breakdown. So pets are God's way of telling me that I can't have kids. That's the thing.
You do just fine. You would do just fine.
Let's not find out. Let's just assume that's the case and never test that theory. Because there are people who clearly should not be having children. Exhibit A, Britney Spears. Exhibit B, Anna Nicole Smith. So what we have been talking about today, understand that I was gone Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I leave and everything goes crazy. So here's my question to you. Why doesn't this judge just get all of these guys in the room, get them all in a room and say, come on, there's the washroom, give up the DNA, and then get the body, and we're going to settle this like tomorrow?
I think it's going to get to that, but I think right now they've got to get to the body first, and he's going to make a decision Friday. By the way, I'm on a plane to get tomorrow back down there again, so we'll be talking to you Friday from down in Fort Lauderdale.
All right, then.
I know you'll be excited about that.
So where are we right now? What has happened so far? Where is this? Is it still who owns the body?
That's exactly right. But he's going to make a decision on that Friday morning. So we'll know exactly what's going to happen. We had Anna Nicole Smith's mother today, and she's saying that she wants to exhume the grandson in the Bahamas, bring his body to Texas to be buried along with Anna Nicole Smith. That's the latest on that one. And it was really gruesome later in the day because they all of a sudden CNN called out to Router 49. I got video of them. They're in the medical examiner's office. All of the lawyers and everybody.
Jeez.
So what are they doing? Are they going to, I guess the family was going to catch a sneak peek of Anna Nicole. And the medical examiner says that she's starting to decompose. And he says she should be buried on Saturday.
And is that likely to happen, do you think?
Well, you know, it could happen if he makes that ruling on... you know what I think? I think they could buy a couple extra days. But it would be a matter of, do you want the open casket for any kind of a memorial that you're going to have?
Well,
how's it going to work?
And apparently the open casket funeral, as I guess befits a model, that, I guess that was very important to her. It's just so surreal. And then, so once the body thing is decided... Then once the body business is taken care of, then we move on to the baby business.
Then we move on to the baby business, correct. So that's exactly how it's going to work. And, of course, still we've got that question about, you know, what did she die of? And, you know, we're going to find out when all that toxicology stuff comes back. That'll probably be in another couple of weeks or so. But, you know, now they're in the courtroom openly fighting now about who's the gold digger, you know? And that's how this whole thing is going. So it'll be pretty interesting Friday. We decided that I'm going to be gone down there again. So we'll be having some fun.
Did you win? Is that like, are you being rewarded or punished?
I don't know. It's hard to say with this story. But, I thought, the content of the news and everything, I always think everything is gone so tabloid. And I think every day I get up and it gets stranger and stranger.
Dude.
Today, the worst that I ever saw, which I couldn't believe, is that they're going to have Paul McCartney's ex is going to be Heather Mills. She's got one leg, right. And she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Are you still with me?
I am. I just, there's nothing I could say at this point that wouldn't be horrible.
Well, she probably would have a leg up on the competition. I'm sure you were thinking about that.
Okay, there you go. Thank you so much.
But anyway, before we leave, yes. I've got to tell you this. It's the Kathmeister's birthday tomorrow. So got a card today. It's got a Dalmatian on the front. It says, this year, don't worry about blowing out all those candles. You open it up, it says, it's been taken care of, and here you go.
Fantastic. Well, wish Ms. McCarthy a happy birthday from all of us here at the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
We certainly will.
And travel safely, my friend, and we will talk to you in Florida on Friday.
Very good, Rick. Look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy there with his wife. Anyone a picture of him and his wife, the Kathmeister? All right.
They sound so done and over.
They really do. Let's see. Cassidy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
You were talking about not being able to be a parent, and I have faith in you, bro, because when my brother and I were younger, my mom would cut our hair, as any good parent would do. And one day, we're sitting on the stool, and my brother was up there, and I was standing a few feet away, and I hear this blood-curdling scream. And look over, and his ear is bleeding. So, as my mom was cutting his hair, she clipped the tip of his ear.
Oh, now did she? Now hold on. Now when you're, was she cutting him with scissors or like clippers?
Yeah, it was like hair cutting shears. It's like really good, sharp razor blade type scissors.
Oh,
and clipped the little tip of his ear off.
Off? Oh, not just clipped into the ear. She actually was cutting your brother's hair and clipped part of his ear off.
Well, I say that loosely because it was about maybe. An eighth of an inch deep.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, he can use that for the rest of his life. I mean, it doesn't matter what he needs to get out of. It doesn't matter how late he comes home. It doesn't matter what girl he gets pregnant. He's got that to hold over her the rest of his life.
Right. But he loves her, and we just think she's the greatest thing in the world. So regardless, if you cut your kids' ears off someday, they'll still forgive you and love you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well.
That's Cassidy. I wonder if she glued it back on with super glue like that groomer in Washington. Seriously. Do you have, the mountain climber news? Do we have that? Well, let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a visit to your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. Pay heed!
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Ultimate feel-good story. Velvet, the black mixed breed dog that helped keep three mountain climbers warm overnight until rescuers could reach them. But experienced climbers say taking dogs up the mountain for warmth and companionship can be foolish. It's not clear what the climbers who set out Saturday intended as they made their way toward the summit.
Why did they have the dog with them?
That's a good question.
Seriously.
Companionship?
Weren't they...
Maybe they want to leave it at home.
They were hiking into a dangerous area, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems like if you're hiking...
It's crazy enough to be hiking into a dangerous area.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And the least of look, it's not like I'm some animal rights freak. I mean, whatever. I don't care. But, I mean, it does seem like it's a mountain. And what is it with people waiting until the worst time of the year to climb the goddamn mountain? Go back in summertime. Mm-hmm. So they right after these nitwits freeze to death a few weeks ago, these other guys are like, hey, remember that mountain where all those guys died a few weeks ago? Let's do that. Let's go up. And so they go up. And, at least the one guy calls up his two friends and they decide to go along. They can say yay or nay. You're dragging the dog up there. The dog doesn't have any choice
and
about
it. They all felt like 500 feet.
Jesus.
That could be so soft.
Yeah. I mean, so what is it? Did the ground give way from underneath them, or...
They must have slid off something.
Slid on right
like on. The top of the mountain.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, well, it just again, I'm not like some animal rights liberation guy or whatever, but it just seems like you're dragging your dog along to some... I see people do that a lot, actually. Like, I see these people...
Come on, bring your dog to the fireworks.
Oh, I see that. Oh, man. I see that, and I see...
I see dogs on the bikes all the time.
I see people on bicycles or jogging, and it's like they're jogging jogging and bicycle along with the dog and the poor dog, which has no choice but to keep up. Because the dog doesn't have any way to say, like, no, stop, no, really, oh, come on, running Stitch, out, out, out. I mean, the dog has no way. The only way the dog has to say that he wants to stop is to stop running and be dragged for 5 or 6 feet until you figure out that you're carrying dead weight.
One of the retractable leashes. That way, if the dog stops, you still have a few feet before it's like, oh.
Well, Max will do that, actually, because we don't jog, but it's like the Lara will take him walking up Mount Tabor sometimes. And when he's had enough of it, he just sits down. You know, that's his thing. He just sits down and doesn't move. And he's no bones about it. But I'll see idiots bicycling along sometimes. Poor dog running to keep up.
So what do you do with Max if you're on top of Mount Tabor?
Well, I don't do anything because I don't take him to Mount Tabor because I'm not... Because I realize it's probably not something he wants to do.
Isn't that a bar?
Yeah. No, that is...
No.
He would fit in there.
Okay.
Anyway,
different Mount Tabor.
So I'm just saying, no, he's a house dog. I leave him at home. I leave him at home, and if we go somewhere, it's just across the street so he can snap at our neighbor who has it coming. That's it. I don't try to take him on a hike, because then you're just going to end up carrying him the rest of the way, and then you just look, both of you look dumb and embarrassed. So anyway, well, it just seems like it would have been a good idea to leave the dog at home. I know the dog ended up saving their lives and all, but I don't know that I would have done the same. All right.
Well, from our Lots of Laughs department.
Is that L-A-F-F-S?
It is.
Okay.
Or Z.
Laughs.
Okay. A man in Washington County found out why a prescription is needed for Viagra. The man called 911, and when asked what he needed for medical assistance, the man said, I took 2 Viagra pills and my erection has been up for 4 days. There hasn't been any sign of change whatsoever, and I'm really sick of this whole thing.
Okay, doesn't it say to take one?
I mean, I don't know. I've never taken it.
It seems like there's probably... Of all of the things... Look, I know that we live in a devil-may-care society and so forth, and sometimes you just, you open that bottle of aspirin and you shake out however many you feel like shaking out, and maybe it's 3, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 1, maybe it's 4. Doesn't matter. You toss them back. If you're taking something whose sole purpose is to affect the state of your penis, it seems like you might want to read those instructions. That's all I'm saying. It's like taking some sort of medication that's going to treat a tumor on the inside of your head. You might want to read the sort of list of side effects and maybe the indications and what you don't want to mix those with. So just chugging down however many Viagra land in the palm of your hand seems like an invitation to becoming a story on the stupid news segment today, which is what this is. So he had the erection for how long?
4 days. And he tells the 911 operator he got the blue pills up the street, and he was already on 2 other prescriptions, one for depression and another for bipolar disease.
Fantastic. Excellent. So if he's depressed and his first of all, do we even know if he had a woman to have sex with? Or a person anyway?
Lucky lady tomorrow?
Someone? Does it say if he had
it? It does not say, no.
I mean, let's hope so. That would be frustrating. Mm-hmm. 4-day erection is just...
I don't think you'd do that to yourself.
I
guess I'm not a guy. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he was just like wanted to see what
Washington
it was like.
County.
Maybe it was just a whole lot of like, let's see what it feels like. And then it's... No, I'm just saying... Maybe it was just sort of a, I wonder what this, I wonder, let's test it out.
How could I torture myself?
A dry run, so to speak. And then he has no, I mean, you'd almost be tempted just to go find a woman. You'd almost be tempted to go rent one. I mean,
pick up a People magazine.
Yes. And so forth. Rick, this email says, okay, now this, I am reading this now. Now, we have no way of knowing if this is true. I am simply reading an email that came in. Reading an email that came in from a listener. I make no claims as to the truth or veracity of this piece of news. Someone says, Rick, thought you guys should know the police and bomb squad are investigating a suspicious device left by a man with a questionable mental state at 12th and Hawthorne. Bomb squad, I believe, blew up the device. Police seeking suspect. So there you go. I don't know whether that's true or not.
That's the county courthouse.
Well, let's look here.
Unsourced news. It's unverified claim.
Just a moment here. Let me dig just a little bit deeper, because
that's what we do.
Dig a little bit deeper, you're my kind of girl.
Or however it is that goes. All right.
This judge is just getting more and more wacky.
Let me read a few emails here.
Okay, this device or suspicious package was spotted near the intersection of Southeast 12th Avenue and Hawthorne.
That's right by Riyadh's.
They're using a special robot to get in close.
I believe the term you're looking for is robot.
No, that's the corner of Burgerville, isn't it?
Well, 11th. Well, yeah, the liquor store, Burgerville. Yeah. It's right by. It's right by Tiny's. Tiny's is right there. Yeah. All right. So did they blow something up?
Not yet. The robot is inspecting.
Robot. Let's see, Rick. Rigor mortis only lasts a few hours or a day. You should know after that, a corpse get real pliable. Real. There's twice there. Let's see. Rick, please. Oh, here we go again. Please be commenting on the climbers who took their dog with them up Mount Hood. The Oregonian reports this morning the owner does not want to be interviewed. I can't possibly imagine. Well, yeah, it's hard to believe. Try to take a baby next time, too. Why not? Take a baby and somebody with no legs. Drag them along up the goddamn mountain with you. Take as many things as you possibly can who can't say no to you, who might die if they're with you. Be sure to do that from now on. Rick, if Anna Nicole Smith was pregnant and Howard K. Stern was around to tape her stoned, then he was probably around when she got stoned. That being the case, he should be denied parental rights, for he could not protect the unborn child when both she and the mother were in his care. It's disturbing that a man who is supposed to be a member of the state bar could be so callous and disrespectful of the unborn child.
He might not be a member of the Bermuda state or the Bahama state bar.
Well, and I don't know, do we know that he was around her when she was pregnant? I mean, do we know that that's the case?
Yeah, they were living together.
In sin.
Right. Let's see. What else do we have here? All right. Well, we should probably break here. All right. Okay, we should break. We get back. We're going to talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com and find out who nudes up at the theater this weekend. We've got more from Tim Rowney, and we'll talk about the storm. I'm getting a lot of emails, people asking about the storm show, like this. Rick, Sarah and Tim hinted at something that Scotty J did on Friday night, and said that you guys would talk about it when you came back to town. You alluded to it this morning, but I don't think anyone has told the full story. Care to fill the audience in, please? It will all make us feel better about ourselves. And isn't that what you're here for, Rick?
It is, sir.
We'll discuss that when we get back after we talk to Mr. Skin. You said it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Program. It's 5:02. I can't even wait for the post. That's how excited I am right here. This is the post. There you go. Of course she's been on drugs. The judge in the Anna Nicole Smith trial, our new national pastime, somebody asked if she's been on drugs in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the judge asked him.
And so the lawyer said, well, I'm not going to get it. Well, of course she was on drugs. The question is just, were they legal or illegal and what kind, and were they prescribed or not, and were they just like postpartum drugs, postnatal drugs, or were she like shooting the heroin into her eyeballs?
And Larry Burkhead's lawyer is unsuccessfully trying to bring up the paternity suit. It's not happening. They keep just bouncing it off.
Rick. Stephanie Miller was reporting this morning that the judge for the Anna Nicole Richie carcass trial used to be a cab driver and went to night school for his law degree. I don't know if it's true, but it would definitely answer a few unanswered questions. Also, did you hear about Seamus' idea? Seamus is becoming the most popular guy in the program. The guy lives in Denver. Did you see Seamus' idea for the celebrity death race? No, I did not. Who knows what Seamus' idea for the celebrity death race is? No one. All right. Well, apparently it's gripping. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to, we'll get some more calls. We'll talk to Mr. Skin here in just a few. Our good friend Storm Large joining us on the Rick Emerson Show. Storm!
How you guys doing?
Hey, Stormy.
What's up, Storm Large? Great show on Friday, by the way.
Thank you very much. I'm still recovering.
It was great, and I got there in time to see. I did not get to see Mike D, but I saw Cleveland, who are always fantastic.
Oh, I love her. Yeah. Good Lord.
Cleveland is really great. I mean, it's just sort of a she'd jump off stage and brass knuckle you if you got on the line kind of a vibe to her.
And you wouldn't mind.
No. And I would pay. I would pay, I believe. So.
Yeah, I'm sure she's been offered money for such activities.
Scotty said that you saw or you were there when at the bomb thing on Hawthorne just now.
Yeah, I was coming back from the gym and I was fortuitously listening on the radio. You guys were talking about it, and I was just coming going up towards Lads, and I saw the brouhaha, and it looked like, I mean, I could be wrong, but it looked like the scarehead perfect Johnny B's. You know that little pancake place?
The what?
Johnny B.
Oh, right. It's like a diner.
Place.
Yeah, it's like a diner.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of old timers in there kind of peeking through the window, and And the second gate, he's like, well, are you going to go over there and investigate? I'm like, an explosive device in a pancake house full of old people? No.
You might go jab it with a stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it look like they had the...
Did it look like they had
the bomb-finding robot?
Yeah, there was like some metal spindly thing kind of in the middle. It looked like if they found the thing, they pulled it into the middle of the street. And the robot, I guess you were calling it?
The robot.
Robot.
That's okay, the official sci-fi pronunciation we use on the show.
Okay. Yeah. So. Robot was probing this device.
Fantastic.
In the middle of the street. It was very, very exciting in metropolitan Portland.
I hope they blow it up. That's the best part of any bomb scare is when they blow the thing. Well, there's two things. One, when they blow whatever it is up. And then B, when they reveal later that it was like a bag of leaves. It's always it's like an overdue library book that they've just blown into 5 billion pieces or something. Those are the two highlights. So
wait a minute. So when they blow up a device, there's actually a charge that occurs that isn't necessarily from the explosive device?
No, I think that's how they do that stuff. I think the robot itself goes out and has some sort of incendiary device, and the thing is, I'll say this, and we'll have some cop call us and tell us, but I think that's how they do it. I think they have, like, little shaped directional blasts that go inward that blow up whatever the thing is, and that's why they clear out these surrounding neighborhoods. They don't know if it's like a box full of nails or whatever. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
I mean, pardon my ignorance in these areas, but how would they keep it safe if it was a dirty bomb if they were like, well, let's just blow it up and make it safe? What do they do to keep it from, you know, going off?
Thanks for giving the terrorist idea, Storm. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I mean, if they're going to... what do we do with this explosive device? I don't know. Blow it up.
Why do you hate America, Storm Large? Why?
Come on now.
All right. Well, if anything catches fire, or if it rains, like radioactive doom on anybody, be sure to let me know.
But I will. I will pick up the phone and I will call you, Rick Emerson.
God bless you, Storm. And again, great show on Friday. Congratulations. You guys were smoking
and
it.
And on Monday, that was a great one, too.
Were you there, Sarah?
I was. I liked your dress.
I was looking for you. All I could see was a bunch of drunk guys eating the free chicken.
Dude, I could not handle it. My sister and I could hang for about like an hour and a half.
Oh, wait,
like,
wasn't that gross?
Yeah, it was.
Davey was so disgusted because there was just a guy. I don't know why this was happening, but this man was fixated on Davey shoving fried chicken in his mouth, just eating chicken voraciously, staring at Davey. He was so upset.
As soon as the whiskey started to flow and I saw girls fighting in the bathroom, I'm like, yeah, hello. I should probably get out of here.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the vomit later was just a bad mix.
Ew.
Jameson and chicken.
Fantastic.
Oh, wrong.
All right, guys.
That's great. Thank
on that
you.
Note,
thank you, Storm.
Have fun. I'll talk to you later.
There you go. Bye. Storm Large, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Good God. All right, there you go. That's what an image I went in my head. All right, Storm Large, Storm of the Balls. Good Lord Almighty. Hey, where's your sister, by the way?
She flew out last night.
Oh, come on.
I know.
We had her on here both days.
Did she come in?
And Heather and I came. We were hanging out in here for 2 days.
She sat in Tim's lap. All right, fine.
She sat in your chair, actually.
Pretty comfortably. Really? Did she really?
She got that sinking feeling.
Yeah, she sunk a couple times.
Are there photographs of her here sitting in the studio?
Actually, yeah, we took a bunch of pictures at the Jameson whiskey party.
Was she on the air? Because it's not really me who missed out. It was the audience that missed out. If your sister didn't...
She missed a little bit.
All right, the audience likes your sister. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Oh, is this Mr. Skin? Okay, well, welcome in like 10 seconds here. We'll welcome Mr. Skin to the Rick Emerson. We have to get him a theme at some point. Do we have like the porn theme? We have that?
Yes.
That's probably the only thing we have right now. All right, we'll do that, and then we've got more from Tim Ronnie, more Anna Nicole news. Later on, Jim Roop is going to join us. We'll talk to Dennis Pitsenbarger, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the online database of celebrity nudity and nudality from MrSkin.com. Mr. Skin, what's up, brother man? How you doing?
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
It's going very well. I'm just perusing the email you sent me. Sarah, did you get the email?
I did. That's a lot of boobs.
This is the great thing about...
Yeah, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed.
The great thing about this... By the way, Sarah, if HR is listening, Sarah asked me to send this to her.
I did not ask you. I think it...
The great thing about this is this is the... Because we talk to you every week about this, about new nudity or nudity that has just come out on DVD.
Yeah, or
in
theaters.
The theater. And so you send us this little, I don't know, sort of a heads up with little screen captures here.
No pun intended.
No, which is fantastic. So I'm getting to, I'm previewing this, and the one that I immediately saw was Edie Falco, who's Carmela Soprano.
Yes, I want to get to that, because I'll be talking about her as part of the new releases this week.
So who's nuding up either on DVD or in the theaters?
Well, there's a couple of movies that open in theaters this weekend that I wanted to give you the skinformation on Friday. That movie, The Number 23, opens. It's the Jim Carrey thriller, and you're going to... there's no nudity in this, even though it's rated R, but you're going to notice a very hot brunette in that movie named Rona Mitra, and you're going to say, wow, I wonder if she's ever been naked. And if you go to MrSkin.com and check it out, you'll notice she did a movie called Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon back in about 2000.
Oh, yeah, that's that Invisible Man.
Yeah, and he does exactly, I guess, what I do if I was an Invisible Man, hang out in chicks' bedrooms, I guess, if you're going to be an Invisible Man. But okay. She has a great topless scene. And that she's so beautiful, and it's kind of good to know she does get into her underwear in the movie. Virginia Madsen's also in it. She does not, but Rona Mitra's in her underwear in The Number 23, but you can see her nude in The Hollow Man from 2000. Now, there's another movie that opens Friday called Gray Matters. It's about a brother and sister played by Heather Graham and Thomas Cavanaugh, who they're so inseparable and compatible that people think they're actually going out, and they get creeped out by this, and they decide they're going to fix each other up, and she fixes him up with Bridget Moynihan, who's in the news now because she's pregnant with Tom Brady, the football quarterback. Yeah, and this is a PG-13 movie, but there's a great girl-girl kiss between Heather Graham and Bridget Moynihan that I think you'll enjoy in this movie, which opens Friday. It's called Gray Matters. Now, no nudity, but when two hot, famous girls kiss, it's never a bad thing.
Now, how is Heather Graham looking these days? Because
very good.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen her in anything. She hadn't really been in any high-profile movies lately.
Yeah, and she's done some good nudity. I mean, you remember Boogie Nights, also did a movie called Killing Me Softly, and those golden grams are spectacular, I can tell you that. So she looks great, but no nudity in Gray Matters, but the great makeout kiss. So that's theater stuff. And then on DVD, you know, it's up for Best Picture this year, that movie Babel.
With Brad Pitt.
Yeah, and it's out on DVD, and there's actually a ton of nudity. The girl in it is an Asian skinsation named Rinko Kikuchi, and she's naked a ton in this movie. There's full frontal nudity, everything, lots of nudity. So anyone who checks out the movie Babel, not only is it up for Best Picture, but it has tons of nudity, and the girl's name is Rinko Kikuchi.
I'm looking at this right here. And then, now here's the thing, and I'm going, I got this, and I don't think I'm alone here. I got this whole thing from Marley Matlin.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because she's deaf, although that is why everybody sort of remembers her.
Yeah.
But she's just beautiful. She's really hot.
Yeah, she is. And what I sent you those pics is I wanted to point out that for fans of The L Word, or if you're not a fan of The L Word, totally cool. It's a tough show for me to watch with the sound on, but with the sound off, it's an amazing show because every week they get hot babes, being together. It's really great. And this last week's episode alone on Showtime had Jennifer Beals and Marley Matlin in a sexual relationship, off the charts sexy. And you're a Marley Matlin fan, as am I. And then you throw in Jennifer Beals. That's great. And then Christina Loken, a blonde who was in Terminator 3 and recently was rumored to be in a relationship with Michelle Rodriguez, has a great girl-girl moment with Catherine Moaning. So you get like three big celebrities in great skin scenes all in one episode.
Now, was she the Terminator in Terminator 3? What the hell was she in that movie?
She was a girl. Remember the blonde at the beginning of the movie that was completely nude walking in the street?
Right, right.
That's who she was. I can't remember what her, but I know what she looked like naked. I'm not sure on the other stuff. And then finally I wanted to mention out on DVD this week, also new on DVD, is this movie called The Quiet. It's at the new release section of your favorite video store. It's a teen thriller, and in it is Soprano's mom, Edie Falco, who plays Carmela Soprano. And at the 56 minutes in, she goes topless, and it's actually her best nude scene to date. She's, I will say, not a natural beauty by any means, but it's always cool when a famous TV mom decides to get naked. So you can see Edie Falco, Carmella, Naked. The movie's called The Quiet. It's a new release DVD this week. It's at the 56-minute mark of the movie The Quiet.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right. Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure. From MrSkin.com. Mr. Skin, thank you. We will talk to you next week, brother.
Yeah, and I'll be doing my Anatomy Awards next week. The Best in Nudity for 2006. The Academy Awards are this Sunday, and the Anatomy Awards are next week.
Excellent. Next Wednesday at the same time. Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Thanks, brother.
Cool, dude. Bye.
There you go. That's Mr. Skin, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Edie Falco, who's... I can't ever get a fix on how old she is either. I was just watching this movie.
She's one of your special friends, isn't she?
I love her. And here's the reason I love Edie Falco is not only because she's Carmela Soprano, but because she's in this great indie film from 1991 called Trust, this Hal Hartley film, which I love her. She plays this really trashy Jersey girl, like way trashier than Carmela Soprano, with like the scrunchies in the hair and the whatever. And anyway, I think she was really young when she did that. So I think it's cool when chicks were not... who are not, like, really young, get nude. I mean, that's got to be kind of tough to do in America. You know, it's like if you're over the age of whatever, like 30 in Hollywood, you're just considered, you know, like, it's just like a washout. So I think it's kind of cool when women who are that age decide to do that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick. I've been in America for 4 years now. I am originally British, or still British, I guess, but here. I'm discovering the great ways to get yourself on television in this country. Climb Mount Hood in ridiculous weather. Take your dog with you for extra stupidity, and then fall off a ledge and get rescued. This will ensure that you get onto every national morning news show, including Good Morning America. The more unbelievably stupid you are, the more famous you become. Do you think there is something wrong with this world? No, sir. It's just confined to this continent.
And don't forget to take that back road with the sign pointing to the coast.
Exactly. You know, and by the way, speaking of Mr. Skin, I'd like to point out that Sarah's computer faces the back of the room where no one else can see it. I'm talking to Mr. Skin, that whole thing, and I'm trying to be up to speed with it, and I'm like looking at all this nudity, and meanwhile there's a hole behind me where like anybody who walks by me just thinks I'm looking at...
And they're big pictures, too.
Yes, they are. Just thinks I'm looking at the porn. All right. Let's see. Scotty is typing on the screen that you and Heather look like twins, Sarah, just so you know.
We do look quite a bit alike.
All right. 503-733-2970. All right. Well, what time is it now?
It's 1:48.
Page two. Should we talk about Storm now? Or
okay.
Should we wait?
No, let's do it now.
All right.
Because if we keep waiting, it'll be pushed off.
Okay, then I'm going to have to summon Scotty manually because they've taken the delay away. Hold on. Scotty? Can we grab you for a second? Thank you. All right,
Scotty J.
His speaker's they're repairing his speaker right now, so I don't think he can actually hear the show where he is.
All right, so right now the judge is saying that he might not be issuing a paternity test because it doesn't really seem to be valid in figuring out the will. What?
And well, this is even more tearful. Howard Stern says he has no income. He's borrowing money from his parents, and in a cold paid in full for everything, he didn't even have enough money for his own shoes.
He and Brittany should get together. And man, is there a video of her shaving her legs in that swimming pool? I would just
not that we've seen. No,
it's fantastic.
No, just gossip mongering.
All right, so we have this email.
I love that too.
Rick, this email says Sarah and Tim hinted at something that Scotty J did on Friday night and said that you guys would talk about it when you came back into town. You alluded to it this morning, but I don't think anyone has told the story. Care to fill the audience in, please? It will make us all feel better about ourselves, and isn't that what you're here for?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. So, hello, Scotty J. How are you?
Doing great, Rick.
You're hungover, aren't you?
No.
Really?
No,
are you hungover today?
I am going on day number 5 or 6 with congestion, allergies.
Is this a preemptive excuse where you're going to lay your troubles at the feet of cold medication?
Yeah, what do nasal allergies have to do with being drunk?
I tell you what, before I even drank last Friday night...
What are you drinking over there?
I was feeling... It's like a Viso, but it's a monster deal.
It's not...
We ran out of Viso.
You went to the store and bought something
else.
They had
no Viso. I wanted
buy a Viso.
Badly.
All right, fine.
I wanted a Viso.
I got to tell you, by the way, first of all, you were unbelievably drunk on Friday at Dante.
Seriously, I've never seen you that wasted.
You were the most drunk I've ever seen you. And
if not most of my friends.
Yeah, seriously, you were in the golden circle.
Right, and I felt that way before I even had my first drink because I don't know if it's this cold and the nasal decongestion.
What nasal decongestion are you taking?
Oh, it's just antihistamine.
What is it, though? What is it you're taking?
Oh, I don't even know.
Like a Dristan?
Yeah, that kind of
stuff. Okay, that must be one of the side effects.
I felt burnout and loopy before I even started. And then I had 2 sparks. And then I went 10
You don't have 2 sparks.
two sparks. So I was up and down at the same time, right?
Uh-huh. All right. Hey, you were drinking something. You were drinking something that looked like whiskey. When I got there.
Right.
And was that whiskey in?
Yeah, it was Johnny Walker Black. Yeah.
All right, okay.
See, I only saw Scotty briefly on the inside because he was sitting with his wife and then he got kicked out. And then I just saw him sitting outside.
Let me give you my perspective on the evening. Here's okay, so I got to Dante's on Friday before you did, Sarah, because we had gone down. We got there around 10:15. We missed Mike D, but we got there about halfway through Cleveland set. That's how I know. So we got there about halfway through Cleveland set. When we got there, it's funny because Mailman Chris was there.
He was getting pretty ripped.
Our good friend. Yeah, he was out of control.
No, he was though.
He was all over the map.
Inside at the end of the show.
I saw him sitting there at the table, carrying on a pleasant conversation with his wife. And then our other friend Chris Boba Fett was there. And then many other listeners that were there. Some people we ran into. And then your brother-in-law was there.
Right.
And then I looked around for you. But I couldn't quite seem to find you. It's not like you yourself were there. So I looked around and I said, that's odd. Where is Scotty J? It's 10:15. Cleveland is playing. Storm and the Balls are going to be coming up later. So at around 10:15, now where would you, or where were you at 10:15?
Sitting.
Sitting at Dante's?
Yeah. Wasn't I just sitting there? You came to my table. I remember little certain parts here and there. It's like little flashes.
I looked around. I'm pretty sure that I didn't see you.
Really? I don't know. Maybe I was in the restroom.
Is that what they call it these days?
Yeah, because it is. It's like a restroom.
Is the restroom code for something, Scotty?
No.
Scotty, why do you lie? Just get it out. You don't
okay,
out
okay I walked up to Mary's, but I told my brother-in-law I was going there. I wanted him to go. He didn't want to go, so I went.
All right, so...
And it was stupid, because I stayed there for one dance and left. I don't like that place.
You stayed for one dance? Like, did you buy a dance? Did you have a dance?
No, did you get a lap dance? No.
Do they do those at Mary's?
No, they do, but no.
They do. I think they do table dance.
I've actually only ever been there to once with you guys. I don't know if they do...
Dive.
No, don't get Listen, we like Mary's.
I like it, but it's just not.
Mary's is nice for the same reason a lot of places like that are nice, that they are kind of divey, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, okay.
Mary's, I proudly wear a Mary's jacket that they gave me. It's a fine place. Portland Institution. Portland's first topless.
I didn't spend much time there.
So how did this. Let's lay out this series of events. So you're sitting there at Dante's.
Yeah, what time did you get to Dante's? What time did you start drinking?
With your brother-in-law. You guys arrive at Dante's when?
I'm going to take a guess because we left my house around, what time did Supernova start? 8 o'clock or 8:30? So I must have got down there around, the doors didn't even open until 8:30.
Okay, but what time did you get there with your brother-in-law? At Dante's.
8:20.
So you started drinking when you got there?
No, I had a couple sparks before I got there.
Okay, I'm sorry. You continued drinking at Dante's at 8:20.
But so where were you drinking the sparks?
No, I started at about 8:45 at Dante's.
When did you start drinking?
Sparks at Dante's.
I don't know. I had two sparks at home before I got down there, and I was dropped off down there by Mrs. J.
So you and your brother-in-law got loaded at your house, then she dropped
off. He didn't drink at my house. We had to go pick him up.
Okay. It's getting needlessly complex. You and your brother-in-law were dropped off at Dante's by your wife, who was on her way to see Rockstar Supernova. She dropped you guys off at Dante's, you already having been drinking.
Right, but I felt so-so at that point.
All right. So how long did you stay? She dropped you off at Dante's around 8:20. How long were you there before you came up with the idea to walk down to the strip club?
Well, it had to be, a couple hours.
So about 10 o'clock or so?
Yeah.
Okay, so you and your...
And then
so you
came back at like 10:15, 10:20.
Now, that's not true, because I got there at 10:15 and you weren't there yet.
But how long was it that I was in there between the 10:15 and when you saw me?
That question makes no sense.
Okay.
That big question grammatically... Yeah, I got there around 10:15,
you saw me when
you were not there. I don't know, probably 10:30 or so.
Yeah, 15
minutes. So you tried to get your brother to leave and go to the strip club with you, and he said no, so you just went there alone?
You just went there by yourself?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much?
Yes.
Okay, so you go to the strip club. You're there for how long?
I'd say I was there for about 20 minutes.
All right. Now, did you spend any money at the strip club?
Drink, yeah. Bought a drink there too.
Just a drink.
Yes.
There was no purchase of a dance.
No.
All right.
No.
Then you walked back.
Did you sit up front?
Nope.
You sat in the back? Sat skulking in the back.
Oh,
like,
that's like, those are the creepiest
like
guys.
A man in a raincoat. Back there in an ill-fitting hat, rustling a newspaper over your lap.
I normally like places bomber. Like that. I like places like that, but...
Writing a manifesto in the back corner.
I really wasn't into that place that night. It wasn't that great. I thought it was going to be great, so I went there, and I'm like, oh.
Now, what was it about Mary's that night that
just
was not great that you thought
really
would be?
The dancer really wasn't anything special.
That's what's so great about Mary's, by the way, the dancer. Just the one girl that was there.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then you walked back.
Right.
Now, Mrs. J this whole time is where? She's off at the Rockstar Supernova concert?
Right.
So now, was it your deal that, like, you had to be back to Dante's by the time she got there?
No, I knew that Storm Large was going to be playing somewhere around 10:30 hour.
All right, okay. So you get back. Did you beat your wife to Dante's?
Did I beat my wife?
You know what I mean. Did you get back to Dante's before Mrs. J got there from Rockstar Supernova?
Yes.
Okay, so you got back to Dante's, and then she arrived
right
at Dante's.
Right.
All right.
So did she know that you went to Mary's?
And then you said, hey, you just, you know, you almost missed me. I was at Mary's.
No, I didn't say that.
I see. And she said, how's your night going? And you said, well, I was here, and then I went to the strip club, and now I'm back.
Hey, I tried to get her brother to go. He just didn't want to go, so.
Does your wife know you went to the strip club?
No, she doesn't, right?
Okay.
I'm sure she does now.
Well, I'm just asking. These are just questions. All right. So there you are, Dante. So there's Mrs. J. Now, at one point, I looked up, and you were there. And then I looked up later. And it looked very much like someone who looked a lot like you was being forcibly removed. Now, at some point, were you forcibly removed?
No, I was never forcibly removed. Here's what happened.
I only saw a blur, so right. It's possible that I was seeing things.
I was sitting there for a while talking to Lara, and I swear I said hi to you or talked to you, and I couldn't stand up because I couldn't see above the people that were standing in front of me. So I just said, forget it, and sat down, right?
Right.
Then I decided to go outside for a little bit. And the guy wouldn't let me back in. That's the deal. And so I had to wait and wait and wait.
Now, why wouldn't he let you back in?
Apparently, I was slurring my words and...
Really?
Swinging my arms?
Go figure there.
So I had to wait a little while, ask him again. Wait a little while, ask him again. And about the fifth time of asking him, I go, look, I just want to go in and grab my jacket. Can I please do that? And he said, okay. And then I...
Could you have told him you had a speech impediment?
I should have, but...
Well, so, but your wife is inside this whole time?
No, she came out, but she was kind of actually mad at
me. Slurring words. Stunned. Why was she mad at you?
Well, because you're already drunk out.
She got down there and only got to see Storm do a couple of songs, and then we had to go. And
now, why was she mad at you?
Because we had to go.
Oh, she got kicked out, too.
No, she didn't get kicked out. It's because I couldn't go back in, so it didn't make any sense.
Oh, so they weren't going to let you back in. Now, is that the deal? They don't let you back in if you're drunk?
Apparently.
No, not
I've
not
never seen that happen.
Not
I've never
but
seen
that. I don't think I was... The guy must have been...
Scotty, I was pretty drunk. You were hammered.
Everybody there is drunk. It's a bar.
Dude, you were like... You couldn't even sit in your chair. You were falling off of your chair, and then, like, you tried... And you started yelling about your jacket. So I went in to try and get your jacket for you.
Couldn't find it.
No, because then you came, you were like, yelling, you're like, I got my jacket, and started, like,
don't look at my jacket. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody refuse admission, readmission to Dante's, ever. Because everybody who goes outside to smoke in that area, they're all drunk. They've all been inside drinking. It's a bar.
I know, I don't get it, because I must have said something to him, or he must have said something to me, like, punk.
You do look like a punk.
And I probably said, make my day, or I probably smarted off to him, and he wouldn't let me back in.
Is that the kind of thing you do when you're drunk, you smart off?
Sometimes.
Do you remember telling my wife that she and Mrs. J have exactly the same personality traits in every way?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But they do seem, from what I know, that she seems to, you know, you're on the radio, she's not. You know, I mean, it's real similar. Lifestyles or personalities, rather.
Okay. Sarah? Have we sufficiently cleared things up for the audience?
I don't know.
I really don't know either. I'm just looking at all these phone calls
here. I know you have...
It just seems like Russian roulette. I don't think any of these... I'm just looking
didn't
at these...
Did you take any more notes about what you
Scotty's
did?
Scotty's giving me the slow finger across the throat, the whole... And then with the whole...
No, yeah, he's totally like... He's not it. Like, as soon as we mentioned something, he's like, no!
Well...
I'm sorry, Scott.
I have a question for you then.
Okay.
Do you remember what you were talking about when you fell into the bookcase?
No.
Okay, see, it's so, yeah, I was drunk, I don't remember what I talked about. And trying to ask somebody questions when they're hammered is...
So this is uncomfortable because large sections of the evening are blank.
But now I feel like you're getting a little, I feel like you're getting unreasonably angry for no reason.
I'm not angry.
You seem a little testy.
I'm not angry, but...
You're kind of being snappy, and you know what, I have the ability to make fun of myself when I fall in a bookcase. You should understand the fact that you kind of made a drunk ass of yourself. And you got kicked out of Dante's, and it's funny, and let's move on.
Okay,
let's
do.
So your wife was just annoyed that she only got to see a couple Storm songs. Because I looked up and you were
gone. Not just annoyed.
Raging.
Raging PO'd or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I see.
So I had to hear about that the next day, and that's the worst, too, when you're not feeling so well.
So is the deal that you walked outside, what, to, like, smoke?
Yes.
And they wouldn't let you back in? I didn't think you smoked.
Well, I don't know. I quit on Saturday.
I see. You speak a bulk of the bad habits.
It's the Rick Emerson show, man.
Let me just ask you point blank. Do you feel that this show is having a negative impact on your life?
No.
You sure about that?
No. I tell you what. He did put
the two sparks in his body.
Exactly. And I tell you what, I was feeling loopy and sick before I even went down there that night. Had a couple sparks. Felt okay. But really, you're sick underneath. You know, you have a cold or whatever. Was taking nasal decongestion.
You keep going, but the nasal
I think it was nasal decongestion.
It's not to blame.
I'm sure it made me loopy.
Did you buy the medication in Oregon? Because if you did, it wouldn't have done anything.
Seriously, there's nothing in that over-the-counter nasal medication that would have made you act bizarrely.
When drinking, though, I don't know.
All right, now, Scotty,
you plotted after a couple of drinks.
Now, here's the thing. Here's how I believe we should have it. A fair way to handle this.
I'm
looking down now, and we have a full bank of calls, as they say.
That scares me.
A full bank of calls.
And we also
are these eyewitnesses to the events?
Well, who's to say? No, they're unscreened. I'm looking down here now. Now, we have the full... Here's a little just behind the curtain. When Scotty is in the studio with us, when you hear Scotty talking, he obviously can't be back there screening calls. So we have what's called auto hold, which is just what it sounds like. You call in, and the phone call automatically goes on hold, goes in the box, as they say. And you can hear it on hold. Scotty has a screen, but the calls have been picked up and sort of put on ice. So, we have a full bank of calls here. Now, I believe, here's what we'll do, Scotty. We can take a break here. You have to Roop here in a few anyway. Take a break, and we will let you screen the calls.
And prepare for what might transpire.
Should
I screen the calls?
We can have you... Okay,
I'm
how about
fair.
This?
I'm
how about
fair.
This? How about
I never
this?
Hang up on anybody. You
Scotty,
it's rag
Aaron
on
Bounce. Scotty, how do you
Aaron
feel
Bounce.
About this? How do you feel about this?
You can take them live. I don't care. I don't.
I can defend myself.
I don't care.
Think about it.
No.
Okay, I just tried to help him.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
I could let
We're
you,
taking them on screen.
I could let you screen them, Sarah. Do you want to screen them live? In other words, you pick up the phone
and
screen them.
You snapped at me.
I'm not snapping at you.
No, but
I had a question, and that is, you guys are like grilling me on my memory after drinking, and I just wondered if when you fell into the bookcase, you can remember what you talked about. I was just thinking a comparison, not getting snappy.
I'm not grilling.
I was an idiot in that situation. No, but I'm saying maybe. I'm just warning you that maybe something happened that you don't remember that we do that you don't want to talk about.
I don't care. I really don't care. No, I'm not ashamed of nothing.
He must be protected from himself.
Okay.
Seriously, you keep saying
I'm just trying to help him.
Well, but he keeps saying I'm not ashamed. But
okay.
But here's the thing. But that's you keep saying that, but then that's coupled with your admission that there's large sections of it you don't remember.
Or don't want to talk about.
Well, then... You see, I can't feel good about this. We should go to a break. We should go to a break, and the question is, though, who screens them? Is it Scotty or Sarah?
I'll screen them.
Scotty, do you trust Sarah to screen these?
Yes, I do.
All right. We'll go to the break. I believe that's probably Jim Roop. We'll talk to Roop when we get back as well. He's got the latest on Britney and her big bobbly head. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley around the corner as well. Stay there!